You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Yeah, I don't think I need to preach after Jason led just then. I think it was just a wonderful affirmation. You know, it's regardless of our circumstances, what we're dealing with in life, we can come to Jesus. We can come to Jesus for as who we are and bring our burdens, challenges before Him. It sort of reaffirms a lot of things I want to share this morning. So maybe God is speaking to us. Now I'd like to wish everyone a happy Australia Day and a happy New Year for the second time this year, if you celebrate the Lunar New Year. You know, according to some Asian traditions, your future is determined by the year that you were born in. And other traditions say that your future is determined by the month you were born in. But you know, praise God that in Christ, our future is determined by our identity in Christ and our relationship with Him. God is the source of our blessing and our identity. Amen? How many people agree with that? Most people. That's good. You know, I was very encouraged by the sermon Pastor Bin shared at the end of last year about making changes. He said, if we make a small change, it can amount to a big difference. You know, we make it consistent, we are accountable with someone with that change. It can become a big difference, make a big difference in our life. And last week, Pastor Tim shared something along the similar lines. He said, it's the beginning of this year, it's time for change, time to make resolutions. But he said something quite disturbing, something that was a bit discouraging. He was saying that 36% of people have already failed. A study has shown 36% of people have already failed at keeping their resolutions after the first month. After the first month of the year, they fail. I'm not really into New Year's resolutions and so on, but I believe that God, you know, in the Bible, it clearly says that as a Christian, if we're in Christ, we're constantly making changes. We're constantly growing. We're constantly changing from glory to glory, as the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, or transformed from glory to glory in other translations. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. You know, I have to say that for myself, I know I've made some changes this year. I've made some changes. I have to be careful what I say. I want to say, you know, I've made this amazing change. And you know, it peters out, you know, like Pastor Tim, you know, he's ready, he's cooking a dinner, dinner once a month, and by the second month he stopped, and everything, it sort of petered out. So I don't want to be like that, but, you know, September last year, I was driving. I think God was speaking to me. God was speaking to me. I was driving to work. It must have been God, in hindsight. I was thinking about driving. I was thinking about the fact that I'm always rushing here and there, rushing to work. And I've timed myself. I take 35 minutes to get to work. Right? That means, you know, if I pass through all the lights, if it's generally a green light, if I overtake all the slow traffic, if I keep to the, no, I'm not speeding, if I keep to the speed limits, at the 100 kilometers per hour stretch in Great Eastern Highway, if I keep to that, you know, there's a stretch, there's 100 k per hour, there's 90 k per hour. If I keep to that, if I overtake all the slow traffic, overtake the trucks, I can get to work at 35 minutes, right? Good, everything works well. But you know, I've got to be on the ball. I've got to constantly make sure that I'm on track. thing is, I think I was thinking about, you know, when I was driving through Grand Farmer Freeway, I was thinking, you know, maybe I'm too. It's just a rush. It's just, you know, I'm just purely trying to get from A to B. Sometimes I had the Bible on. I actually listened to the Bible when I'm in the car on the way to work, on the way back from work. Sometimes the radio. Sometimes I, you know, listen to a podcast. But usually I'm a bit distracted. You know, I'm trying to overtake traffic. I'm trying to be, you know, beat the lights. And you know, sometimes I just don't, you know, I'm not in that mood to pray. I'm not in the mood to listen to the Bible. So I think God was speaking to me. God was saying, you know, how about if I slow down a little bit, maybe come a bit earlier to church. I mean, come a bit earlier, take off a bit earlier to work, maybe 5 minutes earlier. That way I can relax. I don't need to try to overtake all the traffic. I can just stay behind the slowest truck and just drive, relax. Don't worry about speeding. And I can get to work, you know, within 40 minutes. And at the same time, I can pray, I can hear God's word, I can enjoy God's presence, I can enjoy the journey. I'm not rushed. So God was speaking to me. I was thinking about this. I was meditating on that. And while I was driving out from Graham Farmer Freeway, the tunnel, you know, the tunnel, I looked to the left, and there was a speeding camera right to my left. And for me, that was a confirmation that, hey, maybe God's saying something to me. Now, I wish I could say, you know, it all, that was good. I made a complete change. It was all about, I was never rushing. I was always keeping within the speed limit. But a few weeks later, I received something in the mail. You know, it was actually a speeding fine. But it wasn't for that. And it wasn't for that. It was for another incident when I was driving back home from work. I was had to rush back to pick up my kids from after school care. I was saying, lingering on a bit at work, had to rush back. And I didn't know. I didn't see the speeding camera until I got a letter saying, oh, it was just at the corner of, you know, this long stretch of road. There's this farm area. There's no reason why there should be a speeding camera, but they put a speeding camera there. You know, that's all I got caught. So, anyway, all the more I felt that God was impressing upon my heart. You know, I shouldn't be rushing. I should take my time, plan ahead. So that's one of the changes I'm going to make. You know, these whole topics of changes and resolutions are very appropriate for the new year. Very appropriate. Specifically, I thought about what we need in order to make major changes. When we encounter a major circumstance or life transition, you know, and we need to make major changes, how do we go about that? How do we equip ourselves to address major changes that happen, that come our way, based on transitions and life transitions or whatever that may come our way? You know, the Ernest and Jasmine have a new bub for the first time. And, like those of us who've been through that experience, we know that that creates a huge change for us. You know, all of us, we have to make a major change, you know, and there's a lot of challenges that comes with that. You know, the uncertainty, anxiety about whether or not we're looking after little bub well or not. These are the challenges we face. You know, sometimes the big sacrifice I had to make was that I couldn't watch as many movies as I could as before. You know, I was so tied up watching, you know, late nights supporting my wife. Anyway, so those are things that some of the challenges that come our way when we have major changes. And there are a lot of changes that can happen in our life, a lot of transitions in our life that may force us, may compel us to make major change. Quite obvious, some of us have already been through getting married, starting uni, getting a new job, entering into retirement, the empty nest syndrome. Now, some of these changes are based on, you know, predictable life transitions that almost, you know, all of us have to go through. But life is not always predictable. know, so we have changes in all aspects of our lives. You know, whether it's health issues, injury, changes in our work circumstances, for example. And for some of us, you know, we look at our circumstances. Some of us, the type of change that we need to make is not obvious. But what we do know is that if we don't change, if things don't change in our circumstances, if things stay the same, things will not look good for the future. The future will not look good if we don't change. You know, the topic of this sermon this morning will be dealing with major change. Dealing with major change in our lives. It sounds like I'm going to be covering a lot of ground here, but I think you'll find that the root solution is found in God's Word. It's quite clear. It's not complicated. The three points I'm going to talk about in response to a life transition, in response to circumstances that may force us to make a change. One, maintain an attitude of surrender. Number two, be prepared to change your mindset. Number three, engage in persevering prayer. My first point. You know, there's this very famous prayer that I'm sure many of us have heard of. I know it off by heart because it was sitting on my mantelpiece in the lounge room as I was growing up as a kid. He goes, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, this prayer is by Reinhold Niebuhr. He's one of the great American theologians of the 19th century. That prayer is actually used as a foundational prayer by the Alcoholics Anonymous and subsequently many other programs, counseling type programs that rely on, you know, that deal with addictions and gambling and so on. Now, it's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. I guess what it's trying to say, what this prayer is trying to say is that, you know, there's some things that we really like to change, but we can't. You know, something that, you know, just part of life, we can't do much about it. And also, it's also trying to say that there are other things that we probably should change, we can change, but we lack the courage or we lack the motivation to do so. Some things are pretty obvious, you know, like we're getting older. You know, none of us are able to play basketball or soccer or whatever like we used to 20 years ago. I'm very aware of the aging process. You know, I usually when I go to the barber, I ask, you know, the barber asks me, you know, what would you like? What can I do for you? You know, and I usually say to the barber, you know, this part of my hair just at the top here, this part here, can you help me regrow the hair? Can you regrow this? What can you give me? And usually he just laughs. Just, you know, I say, what kind of barber is that? You know, he asks me, what can I do? And I say, it's what I want. And he just laughs. I mean, so that's one of the things that, you know, cannot change. I tell you, back then, that was quite a few years ago, I actually went to Ashley Martin's and all those places. You know those places? How to regrow your hair and give you medication and all those things. And I realized that I think I'm just going to have the serenity to accept what's going to, you know, that accept what cannot change. So that was that. There is a way, by the way, there is a way to regrow your hair, but that involves a surgical procedure. Apparently, you need to sort of, you know, have some kind of surgical procedure, get rid of, sort of take your hair follicles from the back and put them in the front and all that. But that's a bit much for me. So I thought, that's it. I'm going to accept the things I cannot change. You know, body type. You know, a lot of us can't change that. When I was young, I've always been a thin guy. You know, ever since I was young, right? And, you know, my friends used to tell me, Simon, you need to eat more. You need to eat more. And but they don't know. They don't know that I can eat twice as much. I mean, I can eat as much as anyone, twice my size. You know, I can give Ga Hing, Panda, I don't know if he's here, a run for their money. Okay, next time I'm going to take you guys for lunch, I'll show you. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing, it's about the, you know, they said it's about the metabolism and whatever. I don't know. But anyway, I know that I can't change that. You know, I've tried things, I've tried gym and all that stuff. It doesn't work. It's just too much. Let's read, if I could read the whole prayer. It's a wonderful, it gives you a more fuller picture of what it's trying to say. What's the main theme? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? The main theme of this prayer really is surrender. That we surrender to God's will in spite of the challenges that we face, in spite of the sinful world and the challenges that come along with the sinful world. Things will work out. We know that God's got it all under control. You know, in the Bible, we have some people who clearly lived a life of complete surrender before God. If I read from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and of course the Apostle Paul, the one great example. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has been clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. In verse 18, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. You could see here that the Apostle Paul, he was saying, I rejoice. Even though I'm in prison, I'm rejoicing because Christ is being preached all the more as a result. In fact, he wasn't even worried if he died at that point. He wasn't worried about, you know, living in this world. He was, you know, in the latter years of his life at that point and ministry. He was looking forward to going to heaven. But because you know, he knew that his presence would be helpful to the church, he realized that, yes, I think God would want me here, so I'm gonna surrender to God's purpose for my life to stay here rather than die. Either way is okay, but maybe I'll stay here for now because God needs me here. You can see a life that was here, a life that surrendered to God's purposes, surrendered to the purpose of preaching the gospel. You know, when I think of the Apostle Paul and his attitude to surrender, his attitude of surrender to God, I'm reminded of a couple that's about to head to East Asia. I'm not sure if they're here this morning, but if they're not, you know, I can't say their names because I'm being recorded, but, you know, I'm just amazed. I'm just encouraged that after 3 years, they're still there. They've got a child now. I wouldn't blame the couple for saying, look, you know, I've got a child now. You know, Australia is the best place in the world to raise a family. What am I doing here in a remote location in East Asia? Maybe I'll come back. You know, there's no viruses. It's safe. Health's good. They could have, you know, had that mindset. They could have easily have packed their bags and come back here. And a lot of people have been kicked out of that part of the world, those who are Christians. But no, they decided that, you know, this is their calling. They decided to surrender to their calling in Christ, and they decided to stay for the long term, realizing that at some point they will be able to be a testimony to Jesus, to the people around them, once they've, you know, become more proficient with the language. And so that's the thing I'm really encouraged by long-term missionaries. A lot of people don't understand, you know, how the challenges that face long-term missionaries. You know, not just those of us who've been to, you know, small short-term mission trips. How many people have been to a mission trip, can I ask? A short-term mission trip? A few people. Yeah, it's not the same, isn't it? You know, go 1 week, 2 weeks, it's like a camping trip. You know, but if you go for several years at a time, it's a different story. You know, you really have to have a heart that's surrendered to the calling that you've been given to preach the gospel. And I'm so encouraged by this couple. Let's get behind them in prayer and support. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, but I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Other translations says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, because Paul was totally surrendered, he had totally surrendered his life for the work of God and the work of the gospel, he wasn't worried about his material possessions. He wasn't worried whether he had little or whether he had much. He knew, he trusted in God that God would provide for him. He knew that God wouldn't leave him stranded when he was trying to serve him and fulfill his calling. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God will provide for us when we seek him first. So, you know, when we learn to surrender our lives, just like the Apostle Paul, it's like others who really, you know, like the couple I was talking to you about, God will look after us, right? When we surrender our marriages, our family, our future, God will look after us. Some of the things that we cannot change, you know, that back to that prayer, some of the things that we cannot change is the past. You know, we can't change past events. We can't turn back time and change it. But of course, and we've probably heard this before, we can change how it affects us. We can change how the past affects the present. You know, last time when I was up here, you know, I shared about very sad circumstances. You know, about losing our child, our first child, due to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. You know, we knew that nothing could bring back our son. We can go back in time and go back and rescue my son. It's not possible. But God did something wonderful. Through all that, God did something wonderful in our hearts. God gave us an amazing reassurance that God was with us. God gave us assurance that He was in control of our circumstances. He gave us greater compassion for others. And God gave us a greater heart to pray for others who are also facing challenges. And that all came about when we learnt and we knew very early on that we couldn't do anything to change the circumstances. We needed to surrender to Him, surrender to God with whatever purpose He may be doing. It leads to my second point. You know, this whole thing, the reason why I shared that story about not speeding, also trying not to rush, my commitment to try not to rush, and also not to speed, on the way to work, to leave a bit earlier, was not so much, the reason why I shared that was, you know, the point I want to make, this point is, it's not about the minor little changes that we make. It's not about not speeding, you know, or not getting a speeding ticket. That's not my resolution for this year, to make sure that I, you know, get a radar and make sure that, you know, I don't pass by any speeding cameras. That's not my aim. My aim is not to maybe get the cruise control in my little Toyota Yaris, which doesn't, my bigger one has, and maybe I can keep within the speed limit that way. That's not my resolution. My resolution was that I look at myself and I think, gee, it's always about rushing. I don't, you know, why can't I enjoy the journey? Why can't I spend that time praying, hearing God's word, hearing what God may be speaking to me about during that time? And I can't do that if I'm rushing and speeding, trying to overtake traffic. And so what happened in the last few months is still lasting, so I think it must be good. What happened was a change in mindset. You know, one of the greatest things that we could change is not certain aspects of our behavior. One of the greatest things that we can change is a change in mindset. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. God is telling us not to conform to whatever the world is telling us or whatever our culture is telling us, whether we, you know, whether the year of the rat is supposed to be good for you because you're born in the year of the rat. That's not what the Bible tells us. That's not what God wants us to find our identity in. God wants us, of course, to be defined by what God tells us through His Word. And it's actually through His Word that our minds can be transformed. You know, Ellen and I had a privilege of meeting up with a couple last year who lost their 3-year-old son. Very, very sad. You know, and we were put into contact through someone in this church. And it was the husband who was really struggling the most. You know, the wife was pretty, you know, committed Christian. She understood. She understood that, look, it's happened. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to look to God to, you know, oversee the circumstances. There must be a purpose. I'm not sure. And I don't understand, but I'm going to trust in God through this. She had a heart that was surrendered to God. But the husband, he struggled. He was a young Christian. He didn't know. I mean, it's in between tears and you know, very deep sadness. He was saying to us, you know, I think I'm going to start reading the Bible. So I need to understand. I need to know that the Bible is true. I need to know that I will see my son again. I need to know that I will go to heaven and I will see my son. And I'm glad. I thought that was a great. I'm glad that he was in that position. I'm glad that he was able to realize that he wanted to really know the Bible, not just from what he heard. He said to us, "No, I've heard all this before, but now I really want to know. I really need to know." Of course, we gave him some words of encouragement. We encouraged him to look at the Alpha Course, for example. Great introduction to the Christian faith, great affirmation of some of the great truths in God's Word. And I know that he has a lot of people behind him at the church that he was attending. So we're confident that God will be taking him out of that place into a place of trust and surrender before him. And we believe that God will let them both move forward. And I know that they are moving forward at this point in time. But you know, the same thing applies to us. You know, we need to know, we need to understand the truth found in God's Word. We need to know our hope. You know, the Bible says we need to know the hope of our calling, the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the amazing, incomparably great power for us who believe. We need to know where we're going to end up so we don't focus on the things of this world. When we get to a stage where we have a change of mindset, when we are transformed by God's Word, I have to bring in my final point. You know, one of the things that we need to appreciate is our identity in Christ. Right? We have access to God Almighty, ruler of heaven and earth. We can bring before, go to Him with our needs, our challenges. And I love what Jason said early on, that, you know, in times of, you know, we were distracted when circumstances seem to hide God's face. We can recognize that God is so much greater than our circumstances. And we have that incredible opportunity. Because of what Christ has done, we can come before Him in prayer. Let me read Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" So what this passage is implying, and it's applicable to, as it says right at the beginning, you know, we should always pray and not give up. Now, it's not just about praying for justice. What this passage is trying to indicate is that, you know, if in the circumstances of an unjust judge, if you're trying to pester a judge, even though he's not very fair, you keep pestering him, eventually he'll respond. You know, just to get rid of you, you know. Just he will probably say, "Oh yeah. But, you know, in God's case, he's totally just. In fact, he's our Heavenly Father. The Bible says, you know, if you, being earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to you? So we're talking about our Heavenly Father, who's he's totally just and righteous, and he's compassionate and full of grace. Surely when we pray on persistently, surely God would answer us. God will respond to us. And then that last, it's a little interesting bit in verse 8, if you notice, when he says, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" I wonder what he's trying to say there. Well, if I read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What he's trying to say there, if you link the two, when you understand what Jesus was trying to say about faith, if we pray persistently, earnestly, and with perseverance, that's actually an expression of our faith to God. And God is pleased. You know, faith is important. When we look to God, when we trust in him, God is pleased. And of course, as a result, God will show his favor. God will respond. It may not always be yes, but you will have a response from God. A few months ago, we caught up with Ellen's friends. She's from Singapore. She was visiting Perth. It's been a while since we last saw her. She's been praying for her mum for many, many months. And when we caught up with her, she has this amazing, exciting news. Her mum was a staunch Buddhist. You know, she would go to the temple regularly. You know, she was getting older, she had dementia. You know, and you could understand how our friend was thinking, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's losing her mental faculties. I don't know, how am I going to get the gospel through to her? Well, see, what happened was, and she's been praying all this time, so many years praying for her mom. What happened was, and who was her auntie, who was Catholic, mentioned, you know, told her what happened. Apparently, her mom had a dream of a man in white, revered. You know, and of course, the auntie quickly said, "I reckon this is Jesus. Jesus is appearing in your dream." And a short while later, there was an evangelistic rally in Chinese that came to Singapore. And our friend asked her mum, "You know, would you like to come to this? It'd be good." And to her surprise, yeah, she was happy to come along. And what was even more shocking for her, she actually told us when she explained all this to us, she was stunned at all the events that happened. She just couldn't believe that this happened like this, you know. What happened was, during the altar call, the preacher said, "You know, who would like to receive Jesus?" You know, in Mandarin, and she just half raised her hand, you know, and so her friend was looking and saying, "What's going on here?" And so she walked her mom down the front, and indeed, she prayed the sinner's prayer, and my friend, she took pictures of her, you know, receiving Christ and raising her hand and everything, just because she had dementia. So she wanted to make sure that she remembered that she accepted Christ. Right? That's a good strategy. So she started the pictures, you know, when we were there, she saw the pictures of her mum, you know, and praying to receive Christ. And so that she couldn't back away. Afterwards, she can't say, "Oh, yeah, no, I don't know, I can't remember this." So I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful answer to prayer. You know, and throughout this whole, when she was sharing this with us, she was saying, she was stunned. I didn't expect that God would do this. And she was so grateful to God. You know, it reminds me of another Sun Lifer who shared how, you know, her mum was sick and she had to go back to Hong Kong, or not to, to Malaysia. And she took that opportunity to try to share the gospel. And all this while, the mom's, you know, not interested. But somehow she managed to speak in Cantonese, and she said Cantonese is really poor, really bad, but somehow she managed to talk and share the gospel in Cantonese to her mom. And her mom received Christ. She received the Lord. She said, "Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm happy to receive Jesus." And a few weeks later, she passed away. And I know for a fact that the grief was well overshadowed by the joy of seeing her mum receive Christ. You know, I think that's what it's like with a lot of our unsaved loved ones. You know, it can be discouraging, don't you think? It can be discouraging. You know, every time you talk to them, you know they're not interested. They know you're a Christian, but they don't want to hear anything about Jesus, or maybe they say, oh yeah, you've got your God, I've got my God. That's it. But you know, it was just a powerful testimony for myself and for hopefully for all of you here that we shouldn't give up praying for our unsaved relatives and people that we love. Keep praying, because you never know what God can do. I want to finish off by sharing, about our story. You know, back when the time when our son passed away, we had a memorial service, as you do, when you have someone pass away. And at the memorial service, I can't remember what I said. I was totally incoherent. You know, I mean, what would you say? You know, if some member of your family passed away suddenly, what would you say? And I was sort of saying, I don't know, I think something about God's peace, you know, during this time. And it's so true. God, I felt God's peace and reassurance in my heart. And one of Adeline's friends was in the meeting. There's a lot of people in the meeting, right? A lot of people who celebrated the first year birthday of my son. It was such a joyful occasion. And they were all there crying with us. It was such a terrible contrast. But there was one of Adeline's friends was in the congregation. And during that meeting, apparently, I didn't know this until afterwards. Apparently, she was shaking, she was trembling. As she was listening to us share, and it's only later than I found out that she talked to us. She said, "You know, I think Simon, it was something that you said. It was something that you said. You know, and I didn't know this until later, but Adeline's sister, older sister, who's a real evangelist, she loves to share the gospel. She was sitting next to her, and you know, looking at a friend who's shaking, and of course she challenged her, saying, "Would you like to receive Jesus? Would you like to know Jesus? Maybe this is the time. Maybe God's speaking to you." And she said, "Yes, I think that God is speaking to me. I want to receive Jesus." And from that point on, you know, she joined our Connect group for a short while, and then she went to another church eventually. I could tell that she changed. She was different. You know, she was trusting in God. She was reading the Bible. Something changed. Through that moment, the moment that she received Christ, something changed in her life. And she just wanted to know God. She was reading all the material that we gave her. And, you know, she was telling, despite, you know, her circumstances didn't actually change. She was going through major struggles, right? Her, you know, marital issues and so on. Major struggles, but she was trusting God. She was sharing that connected with God. "Oh God, I'm trusting God. I'm going through some struggles, but hey, you know, God is with me." You know, I'm sharing this story because one of the greatest things that can change, or the greatest thing that could possibly change for you, is if you know Jesus, if you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And the second greatest thing that could happen to you is after receiving Jesus that you surrender your life to Him in every aspect of your life, your ambitions, your future, your marriage, your kids. When you surrender your family to Christ, then you get a new perspective, you get a new mindset, and you recognize the new identity that you have. You can come before God with your requests. You can ask God, who is the ruler of heaven and earth, who is able to walk beside you during your circumstances, whatever they may be, God can also deliver you and totally change your circumstances. And the last verse, just to finish off with, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know, I started this message with a prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But please combine it with this prayer, now unto Him, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Can we bow our heads as we close in prayer?